murder government documents. And I walk out and Blair Putney goes, Albert's hey guys, everybody, listening to this Friendly Geordie's podcast, which has pretty much turned into a voluntary recircuit of Alex Jones's radio show. We just love the guy.
Yeah, but that's a good thing.
I don't think I can agree on any level with that statement, apart from the fact that it's hilarious. Yeah, all right. Good. Well, I think that the first order of business here is to discuss why Miss Love isn't here. And that's because he goes, man, I'm under a lot of pressure right now. And I said, what? And he goes, I'm sleeping at a friend's house. He didn't check his messages for 2 days.
Yeah.
And said, hang on, let me put a shirt on. I'll ring you back. And then didn't ring us back.
And then
texted us instead to say, I don't think I'm going to have time to get there. We spoke back saying, you've got 2 hours before we even begin. Yeah, man, I need to buy a shirt.
Yeah, and what for? I don't have a shirt on. That's his reason. Dude, he just messaged me saying, I feel so guilty. I'm going to buy you guys lunch next week.
He won't do that.
He won't do that. And I don't think we should get his money, man. I think he needs it.
Yeah, we feel bad for you, Miss Love. Especially because you're missing out on the first discussion point here on the pod, which is the inauguration of Trump, which, as we all know, he's actually the president now. What is... Ali, walk us through this. What does this mean? Where are we right now?
I think everyone's just, like, gobsmacked at the moment. Because, you know, after he got elected, Obama was still in charge. But, man, it's like losing your daddy.
It is.
It's like getting a real asshole stepdad walk in. Yeah. Like, holy shit, what am I going to do?
Yeah, 60% of his clothes has the Patriots logo on it. And that's your new dad.
That's it.
And your old one had heaps of combs. This guy has heaps of gel.
Yeah, and according to Donald Trump, this cabinet is the most IQ cabinet, like, most IQ cabinet there has ever been.
Okay, that is extremely believable, especially because this is the quote that I brought up of his. Ali and I were discussing this earlier in the week. This has to be the highlight of Trump's entire life, is this 54 seconds.
You're going to be so proud of your country if I get in. You're going to be so proud of your president, and I don't care about that. But you are going to be so proud of your country, because we're going to turn it around and we're going to start winning again. We're going to win so much. We're going to win at every level. We're going to win economically. We're going to win with the economy. We're going to win with military. We're going to win with health care and for our veterans. We're going to win with every single facet. We're going to win so much, you may even get tired of winning. And you'll say, please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more. We're going to win more. We're going to win so much. I love you, Albany. Get out and vote.
You've got to give him that much. Like, did you see the crowd that was just roaring in the background? I get politics, finally. It's been that easy the whole time. Dude, okay, fuck this. I was watching Ben Carson in, like, the Senate committee. So every time, there's a cabinet member is nominated, the Senate can call them and just question them. It's sort of like a job interview, kind of. Anyway, so Elizabeth Warren was questioning Ben Carson. Dude, this is amazing. For any of those who missed it, it was a golden moment. So Elizabeth Warren says, okay, Mr. Ben Carson, can you assure us something over here? Will you say that the billions of dollars that you're going to get in part of for setting up houses, not a single dollar of it will benefit Mr. Trump or his family? And Ben Carson is like, my intention is not to do any of that. And then she's like, but I'm asking you a more specific question. Can you assure me that the billions of dollars that you're going to receive as part of your ministry, that not a single dollar will help Mr. Trump or his family? I can assure you that not only will I help, will this not help Donald Trump, but it won't help any American. at that point, just like the Senate committee was even just like, all right, we're just going to move on from this. I think we know what you mean.
It was the first time in U.S.'s 270-year history that the U.S. Senate felt sorry.
Just like this guy just said, not only will it help Donald Trump, it won't help any American. Then what's your fucking point, Ben? Yeah, that's the highest IQ cabinet there has ever been.
The guy that looks like he's constantly on Xanax.
Yes. Who was like a neurosurgeon but felt that he wasn't qualified for the Ministry of Health.
Yeah, and but wanted to be President of the United States. Because it's not brain surgery. Yeah, that's pretty... the president.
Dude, these guys are so insane. The lady who's supposed to be part of, like, who's supposed to be the head of higher education or something, she was asked this question. Can you assure us that guns have no place in schools? And she says, I'm going to leave that to the state governments. this fucking Democrat senator was like, wait. Are you saying that you can't commit that there's you won't stop guns from getting into schools? Like, as I said, I will leave that up to the states.
This is great. The Republican Party has finally been compressed after thousands of years, like coal does, into its diamond and into its purest form possible, isn't it? Everything now is a state issue.
Yes, everything is a state issue. I will give them that much. I was also watching the Secretary of State, which is more my subject. His Senate hearing, and dude, that guy might be whatever the hell, but he's smart, man. Like, I was impressed by that guy. Not because he's a nice guy or anything. Like, he's probably a monster, but he knows his shit.
Is this the guy that... Wow. My head is not in the realm of this podcast at the moment. And I think it's because I've been listening to a bunch of terrible podcasters talking. And they're always American, and they've got that accent of, he's that guy, you know, the... drinks coffee. Stupid headspace. The guy that was from ExxonMobil.
Yeah, that guy.
This is him.
This is that guy.
And how does he know about foreign affairs? Wouldn't he just know about his stock prices?
Dude, it's pretty crazy. That's what I thought as well. But he knows his shit. Like, he was being grilled by Republicans and Democrats. The only thing that he was kind of... the only thing that he was not answering that well was... I think it was Tim Kaine, who, as a few who have forgotten, was supposed to be the vice president of America. He was asking questions like, so according to according to the documents that we've got a hold of, ExxonMobil knew clearly that global warming exists, but they invested a lot of money into spreading this propaganda that it doesn't. What are your comments about this? And this guy was like, I am not part of ExxonMobil anymore, so I'm not going to answer for them. And he was like, yes, but you are the Secretary of State now, so don't you think you should answer that? He's like, no. He's like, okay, so Tim Kaine...
What was that anything to... He knows his stuff. What, he knows that the Fifth Amendment exists and you can just hide behind no comment.
No, not because of this. This is the only answer that was not satisfactory. But he was being asked questions about other things as well that he knew quite a bit about, which was kind of surprising. But he was asked questions about Saudi Arabia, pretty much everything, man. And he was giving some really, really... Like, not good in the sense that he's a good man and he will do good, in the sense that he knows his subject, but he will most likely be a monster.
Why is it this collection of awful human beings that coagulate together? Don't you think that there's something spiritual happening here?
Maybe.
As in, Alex Jones supports Trump. And look, I love Alex Jones and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
They're great human beings, but... they're not good human beings.
Yes, that's true. Dude, how crazy is
that? It's just amalgamation of the world's greatest. not the world's nice, kindest.
Yeah, yeah. And it's pretty unbelievable. Recently, the World Economic Forum, which happens every year in Davos, they host, like, world leaders from everywhere, pretty much. And the president of China made a speech. He had a speech there. He had, like, an opening monologue or something. And his hour-long speech was basically defending globalization and just talking sense to the rest of the world, which was insane that a Chinese president has to now come to Davos to explain to the world that, dude, you guys are panicking. There's no going back. What are you? And he used like these really Chinese metaphors as well. I was like, think of globalization as the world oceans. We can go, we're now going back to our creeks and lakes, but you must understand that just because the ocean is rowdy does not mean we don't have to be there. We need to be there, we need to control it. The global financial crisis was not caused by globalization, it was caused by greed. And I'm like, man, this guy is the fucking president of China. Why is he talking sense? And Ben Carson just being like, I won't help any American.
It's truly that we're watching the demise, right?
Yeah.
Surely. This is... I was thinking about this the other day. This has to be one of these moments in history where you realize you're actually watching history unfold. You can't say that about Bill Clinton's presidency.
No.
Okay. That guy was the groundskeeper Willy of presidents.
It's crazy how, like, the slogan of Make America Great Again basically cemented into the world that America needed to be great again. Because, you know, like, there was these... I remember hearing a lot of people talk about, like, how America's done way before, like, even Trump was, you know, trying to be the president. People were saying, America's not the same anymore. It's not... And at that point, I was just thinking that, you know, like, it's still fucking powerful. Like, but now, after the Trump victory, that belief has now been cemented into the world. Like, it is... America is now not the, you know, the force to be reckoned with anymore. Just because of Trump, just because he got elected.
Yeah, it's like in the Roman Empire, how it transitioned from the Golden Age to the Age of Iron.
Yeah, it's like one good. They're like, fuck Golden Age, and let's just stick with iron. Let's do what we're good at. That was pretty shit. And even fucking the president of China was saying that how going back into your own quarters has always been the demise of civilizations, and there's no historical precedence of going back from international globalization.
Why is China giving all of these tips to America now? Why does China want America to win?
Dude,
are they in competition with them? Or do Chinese... That's amazing. I like how virtually the world is a ancient fantasy book where there's people of the East that talk in metaphors and they don't talk common sense ever.
They're always
and everybody's sitting there just going like, what are you talking about? I don't know. I live on a boat.
Yeah. He was talking in metaphors, but he was trying to get at something important. What China's like really afraid of is Donald Trump starting a trade war with them, which is just to like raise up tariffs. And China was like, man, this is a horrible strategy. Like, you're going to make us suffer, but you're going to suffer. And like, so he was trying to argue that there's no zero-sum games where, like, if we both do something bad, eventually we'll reach zero. It's like either there's positive or we're going to go negative. So if you think that starting a trade war will benefit you, you are mistaken, sir. We have spent the last 20 years on turbocharged capitalism, and we can assure you that this is not going to work out for you. Like, nobody knows the cost of development more than China does. Dude, like, literally, the fucking leader of the Communist Party of China was talking sense.
That's great. Except for he was talking in sporadic ideas of oceans and winds.
Yes.
He should have just put on High School Musical that We're All In This Together song. Yeah,
that would have been a bit more effective.
That's essentially what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
That our destinies are tied.
Yeah, what he's trying to say is that don't give up on the system. The system has enabled us to reach here. We need to like set up cushions to absorb the sort of crisis that we face. He's like, since the global financial crisis, we've been in a bit of a depression, which is causing all of this, but don't cave into this. Because like, if you cave into this, you have no idea how much more we're all going to suffer.
Man, thanks as always, Ali, for enlightening us all. I was thinking that this segment was going to turn into, you know, in the inauguration day, there was heaps of protesters? And, like, what an uncertain start.
Yeah, that's also true. What is Shut up. The guy who basically advises pretty much everyone on crowd controls, and, like, he also advises the Saudi Arabian government for, like, the annual pilgrimage, which is just, like, millions of people coming to their country. He was saying that the approximate people that showed up for Donald Trump's inauguration was one-third of Obama's.
Why wouldn't you go to Trump's?
Dude, he can't find any people. He can't find any celebrities. You know, Trump, this is the best tweet. Trump tweeted saying, like, A-list celebrities are wanting free tickets, and I'm like, no, you're not going to get anything from me. He's like, what did you do for Hillary? And, like, advisors of Trump are just, like, begging celebrities to come. He's like, and this one guy, this one reporter from CNN asked, this one of these Trump dudes is like, so who's going to be coming? He's like, we've got the three best celebrities. We've got A, President Obama.
True.
And then two, the city, the city of Washington, D.C., that's a celebrity. And three, Donald Trump. I kid you not, this is for real. This is what he answered.
I like how Donald Trump got the bronze, according to his own publicist.
Yeah. And according to...
lost out to people who, by definition, are not famous. Hundreds of thousands of people that have no public profile. Now I got even dumber. How fucked are Ouija boards?
What a segment. Okay, so...
this is what we want first off. If you have a story with you and your mates in a graveyard, getting busted it out and using a glass to go, what's your name? Where are you from? Are you a demon? Oh, fuck, he's a demon. Let's get out of here. If you have that story, if you have something supernatural that happened when you picked up a Ouija board as a teenager, let us know. I've been obsessed with this for approximately 2 hours, and then I was told to get off the net. I was in one of those country towns where they're going, using all me data.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
I remember I'm a guest. I tried Ouija boards once with my, like, 8 friends.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, no, I distinctly remember this. This was, like, when I was, like, 15 or 16. So the one question that I remember asking the Ouija board spirits was, because, like, this is what I was obsessed with at that point. It's like, where am I going to go for uni? I cannot stay in this shithole. And I remember what the answer was.
Man, dude, how much is, like, every single look back on your brain at every segment of your life, you're always, your instant response is, man, I was an idiot.
No, dude. I genuinely wanted to know where I'm going because, like, man, I wanted to get out of that place. But the answer was interesting. I kid you not. The fucking Ouija board said Mauritius.
What is that?
It's like a fucking shit island near South Africa. I can't believe you did. What the fuck is that? And, dude, that clearly was my friends trying to push the coin.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, I didn't go to Mauritius.
Yeah, but they say that the spirits sometimes just lie to you just because they're dead people.
They're just trying to have fun.
I lie like 30, 40 times a day. I've probably lied on this podcast 10 times as we've gone through this.
True. So why are we expecting...
yeah, why would you expect some guy that doesn't know you and you've just looked up at him as this teller of the future?
Yeah, I can imagine if I was a dead person, let's fuck around with this guy. What does he think? Am I his fucking servant? Why would I do? Yeah, but that was like one of my only experiences. The other thing that I remember was going to like a graveyard at 3 a.m. just because like I was told by a friend that, man, you would be so scared that you would be shitting your pants. And I was like, no, I'm not going to be okay.
Was this in Malaysia or Pakistan?
No, this was in Pakistan. So like at 3 a.m., there's a graveyard that I went to. And I didn't have a Ouija board, but I was just like chilling there for like 20 minutes. I just smoked a ciggy and then I came back. Boss. Nothing happened.
What has that got to do with Ouija boards?
Nothing, but like, man, I only got two stories with spirits. Like, I'm not that...
That's not a spirit story that you just said. You're basically... That's what a year seven kid says to brag. I went to the graveyard at 3 a.m. and I smoked a Ziggy. True story.
But it is a true story. But like, dude.
Yeah, you're still bragging about it now. I did do it.
The thing is, like, I'm not that big of a believer when it comes to spirits.
Oh, come on. Last night on Facebook when I was chatting to you about it, you were like, please, man, let's get one. And I was like, no. What if we awaken an evil spirit? And you were going, who cares, man? It'll be a good story.
Yeah.
I suppose, actually, now that I think about it, yeah, you were basically just being Louis Theroux in that situation, egging on an idiot.
Yes, that's what I was trying to do at that point. I was like, if you are shit scared of it, then I think it'll be a good show and we should go.
Because I was at a family gathering last night. This is why we were talking about Trump there, and that sucked. But what distant relatives are great at is telling you when they've seen a UFO, when they've seen a ghost... They've always got the best stories of that. It's never your mum or dad that has the best story of that. It's always your auntie or your uncle.
Yes.
The uncle usually has the UFO story. The auntie usually has the ghost. What is it with chicks and seeing more ghosts than guys do?
I don't know, man. I never like whoever I meet and I ask them, have you seen a ghost? They either respond by saying, oh, I don't want to talk about it, which is, like, really annoying because, man, if you're trying to convince me, then you need to talk about
it. Yes, especially because it's the most interesting discussion point there is.
Yes.
Tom, a former podcast host on this show, used to always try and convince me that the universe is the most interesting subject there is. No way. A haunted house is way more interesting.
Yeah, man. That's why movies like Blair Witch Project that were made for like $100,000 end up making like hundreds of millions.
Thank you. And where does our incredible universe play? At the IMAX.
Yes.
That's it. Just a big screen.
Yeah, with like,
you had your glory day. Now fuck off to the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, with like two Chinese tourists in there just like, oh my god, that is a big screen.
Yeah, they don't care about how big the universe is. It's just a big screen. They're impressed enough with that.
I feel I can touch this. I can touch the universe. I can touch the star of these 3D glasses. Yeah. Like, okay, that
needs to be an astronaut when you've got the IMAX.
That is.
I love how they're all going out of business as well. It was such a 1996 idea.
Yes. And they always had like a shark movie playing. I remember when I came to Australia as a tourist and that was the only film that was playing on IMAX. And I watched it. And the best part of it was there was like one point where the shark tries to like jump and then they sprinkle water on your face.
Yeah, they've got that one trick.
Yeah.
They're like a 10-year-old that got a magic gag box for Christmas.
That is barely a splash.
Yeah, it is a mist spray. It's what you get when you go to a hairdresser that charges you about $50 for a men's haircut.
Yes.
It's that level of water.
Yes.
So I was talking to them about Ouija boards, and all of a sudden, all of them stiffed up, and my uncle refused to tell me a lot of the stories. Again, it's always a case with ghosts.
Mm.
And the experiences just raised the hairs on the back of their necks. Can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
But the stories that they did tell me, first of all, a couple of Ouija board stories where they said the ghost told them or their friends who they were going to marry before they knew the person. Dang.
Wait, did they see a ghost or this is just like a Ouija board telling them how it goes?
Yeah, Ouija board telling them how it goes.
Okay.
Then they also said that sometimes an evil spirit gets through. And there's so many people on the net that keep reporting the same thing. When an evil spirit gets through, either they start swearing at you or they start moving the cursor in just random numbers and letters and then weird shit starts happening around you. And they were saying the same thing before I started reading out these stories. But the main one was my grandma, her friend, the demon or whatever it was on the Ouija board side, started telling... Again, I can't believe that this is... we're airing this. But anyway, she started... Yeah, the demon or whatever was saying, I know your mum beats you and I know you don't want to tell any of your friends that, but she does. Suck shit.
Oh.
Your dad's going to die in 2 years and you're just going to have to live with that.
Fucking hell.
And then the fucking dad did die in 2 years.
Damn.
And then on top of that, this is the most remarkable story out of all of them. I'll skip everything else. My grandma's brother was in World War II, I think it was, and his platoon bought a Ouija board, and they said that they got better information about who died on the front, where the attacks were going to occur, where they should be avoiding throughout the next week, than Intel gave them. And they knew who died way quicker than Intel did. Could give them the information. They said they got better information from the Ouija board than they did from the spy report at the beginning of each day, saying that, like, at 1100 hours, there'll be a shelling. That kind of stuff. Damn. The Ouija board would tell them that stuff.
Man, how crazy is that?
And they said that on many occasions, he's dead now, but he claims that his life was saved on so many occasions during World War II because of that Ouija board.
Man, that is so much better than my uncle's story. That reminds me. I remember there was, like, this one, like, distant uncle whose house I went to, and he just said, like, he mentioned randomly that there's a ghost in this apartment or house or whatever it was. And I was like, you can't just, like, say that and not say anything else. Like, I want to know more about this. Like, so it's like, what did the ghost look like?
That's
it's
the
like,
trademark of a shit storyteller, isn't it?
Yeah. And I was like, wait, what's this? What did this ghost look like? It was like, oh, it was just like a shadow. And I was like, wait, so what was it wearing? He's like,
my clothes.
No.
He's my shadow.
No, he's like, he was wearing, like, clothes. I was like, wait. Okay, you saw it, right? He's like, yes. Like, what was it wearing? And then he's like, it was wearing pajamas and a shirt. And I was like, what? That is so anticlimactic. He's like, and then he's like, I don't know what it looked like, man. Stop asking me these questions. And that was it. That was the conversation that I had with this guy. Man, but like, World War II stories about Ouija boards is way more interesting than this guy came in and
I don't know what that combination is. I don't know why World War II adds so much weight to it.
Yes.
But it's just, he was saying nobody in his platoon died as a result of this.
Man, that's crazy.
There's got to be something to it.
Man, like, fucking Hitler and Stalin and these guys should have also used Ouija boards for intelligence.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's always some conspiracy documentary that's on the History Channel because they are starved for content. I don't know why the History Channel doesn't seem to realize that the world continued after 1946.
Yes,
there are other events that have happened.
Yeah, you turn on the History Channel now and I can bet you'll just see like a parade with Hitler in the front just like walking about.
Yeah, yeah. Always advertising Hitler in color for the first time since last Sunday.
History Channel, step up your game.
Yeah, and stop talking about what did the pyramids really mean. We know you don't have any new information.
Yes. And they're still following that 70s conspiracy. Dude, I bet your parents mentioned this to you. Like, when they were at uni, this was like a very famous conspiracy that the pyramids were made by Superman. Like, actual superheroes made the pyramids. And the biggest argument for that is, like, man, no humans can make that pyramid back in the day. Like, it had to be super people that made it. That was like a...
What is their evidence for that? At least steel beams don't melt under jet fuel temperature. There's science behind that. But, man, I don't know. Like, I don't think I could make that.
Yeah, at least that's like a bullshit excuse that the fucking iron evaporated. But at least it's some scientific evidence. Like, in the 70s, during the hippie era, the biggest evidence for pyramids made were, man, you cannot do it. Humans cannot make this. Just look at it. You cannot do it. And then, like, I remember, like, Indian gurus were just like, that's what we were talking about. It was the monkey god.
Dude, I've got to say, I'm pretty sure that was just in Pakistan.
No, dude, my uni professor mentioned it here at Sydney.
The monkey god conspiracy.
No, not the monkey god conspiracy. That was probably a Pakistani. But the conspiracy that superhumans made the pyramids.
Yeah, I've heard that, but I think it was more aliens was the
okay.
The main vein.
That's true, actually. I think it was more aliens. But whatever it was equally ridiculous. So.
Yeah, Superman to me actually does seem way more ridiculous than aliens. And I still stand by aliens is more plausible than human beings. I mean, man, they are perfectly shaped.
Yes, they are perfectly shaped.
That, why is it a wonder of the world, man? Unlike I wonder aliens. How it was built. So, yeah, I don't know. The point is, guys, give us some stories about Ouija boards. We might be doing one if I can get over the fear of a demon coming through, because I just don't like swear words.
Yes, please convince Jordan to do it.
Yeah, if you can convince me that there's a safe way to do Ouija boards where it doesn't end with... I don't even want to experience lights flickering on and off. I just want them to tell me the lotto numbers and then say, you're welcome, and go back into the spirit world.
And actually win a lotto. Yeah. That would be mad. I am down for that.
So that's my challenge to you. Help me win the lotto by using your dead relatives. Not you. Don't be selfish. Well, now I think we're moving on to probably the least selfish segment of the pod, which is... So mean. So Ali's got problems with pussy.
Oh my god, and what a selection. I am a poor boy, nobody loves me. Oh.
Damn it, somebody's really weird. Usually if Miss Love was here, I could get you guys to just riff it, but you know what? No, I am busy. So, now, let's talk about this, Ali. You haven't made any steps at all, have you? And this is what you're secretly wanting out of this conversation. So you may as well just say it anyway. Are there any girls that are willing to give Ali a date? Come on.
No.
I'll piss off.
You that is that. Not what I'm asking. But dude, man, like...
What are you asking then?
I'm not asking anything. You're the one... Okay, so...
That's
the
true. It was me that was pushing for this.
Yes, because apparently it's a crowd pleaser at my expense.
Which was incredible. On our new show, Holesworthy Live, which is more or less a university lecture.
Shit, yeah,
every second comment that. Was sitting there. Yeah, we really need to put in stunts that involve eating the world's hottest chili.
Yes.
But so many of the comments were, look, man, the reason you're not getting it is because you're burning her brain. You have to burn her. Do you know what I'm saying, man? I mean, it's very postmodern what you're saying.
Yes.
It's open to a lot of interpretation. And I feel like I'm back in year 12 English class.
Like all of those things I agree with. Like it would be an issue if I was saying, no, I don't do that. I'm this alpha male and I don't get any pussy. It's bullshit. I agree with that, man. Like I'm shit at this game. I am the worst at this bloody game. And like my issue is that, I don't know, man. Like I just don't want to like get a fuck on.
What does that mean?
It just means that, man, like, I ain't just trying to get pussy. I'm just, like, trying to get pussy and, like, a relationship.
What?
And I need someone, like, decent for that. I can't just go to any tree.
Oh, man.
It's like, man.
You're like the loser in American Pie.
Oh, fuck
Why can't
off.
You be the stifler? Why can't you just be getting with randoms at cheerleading parties?
I know. I want to be that guy. I'm just not. Man, you can't be something that
true.
You're not.
True, everybody wants to be that guy, but the vast majority of guys, they're that 70s old man that's next door to a bunch of kids that most of his conversation is about how much he hates the neighbor's kids.
Yes.
and you're resigned to that future.
The only thing that we have come up with is that Jordan has now convinced me to get on Tinder, which I am going to do. But there's
That is the bare minimum, isn't it?
That's the bare minimum. But my fucking issue is I live in Holesworthy. There's no one out there that like... maybe there are Tinder people, but like I don't think that they're my type at all, man. It's fucking the West.
I really can't imagine the girl working at the RSL Bowls Club.
Yes, that's what I mean, right?
Clicking with Ali.
Yes, and me like, oh, yeah. I think you're really intelligent.
If anybody has any tickets, this is my idea. If anyone has any tickets to Young Labour Party cruises...
That's right.
Because
that's...
let's be honest about what's happening here. They're not talking about bringing a democratic socialist revolution to Australia, are they? They're just having sex. It's nerds having sex with nerds.
Yes.
That's all that's happening there. Yeah, and anybody that's got anything else to say that's countering that point, prove me wrong. But I know for a fact that my friend who is a young liberal to the heart goes there every single year and goes, oh, yeah, yeah, I really like Bernie Sanders.
The things that you would do for pussy. Yes, yes.
Yeah, there's nothing. Sense. There's no such thing as love on a cruise, is there? They no, might advertise that on P&O, but it is all pussy.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'll do that. I'll see what goes down at Young Labour cruises.
God, we're asking for so many favors from the listeners here. We've just given up from giving to them, haven't we? We're
taking
for favors. It's not even money. It's like our imagination hasn't extended that far. We are the beggars of the Middle Ages that used to tell stories for a hot bowl of soup.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think I need to do is like, man, I need to, like, I know this sounds bad, like, but I need to be less of a nice guy. I think I've figured that much out now. Like, I need to be kind of like, sort of a dick.
This is a trite point, but yeah. Every single woman, I'd like to hear this as well. Come on, some women have the audacity to say that nice guys do finish last.
I know,
they always do. Every single girl is always going, no, but then even when you bring up the idea of a dick, somebody who's just constantly annoying a chick, you can see them laughing while shaking their heads with their arms crossed.
Yeah.
That is the universal sign for a woman who is attracted.
I know, right?
For sure.
Yeah, and they can never be, like, if she says, oh my God, he's so sweet, that's no. Like, that never works out.
Or, I love Ali. No, you don't.
Yes. Yeah. Every time, man, if I get a penny for every time I heard that, man, I would be a rich man.
Dude, I would have 30 pennies.
Yeah, I don't think women like dicks, just generally, but they don't like nice guys either. They like someone in between that can
What they like is somebody who... Slowly convincing my girlfriend, and I've been dating her for 5 years, so this has been a very long process, that what actually attracts women is annoying them.
Yes.
They actually do like being annoyed.
Because isn't that what flirting is all about, in a sense? Like, it's kind of like, you know, annoying you in a sense, but in a sexual way.
Yeah, it's sort of like that push me, pull me dog,
I guess. Yeah, push me, pull me.
We're going to the toilet. No, we want to get some food.
Yeah.
That it makes that friction.
Yeah, and then like
that's what you want.
And then every time she's eating, the guy would just say, like, oh my God, you eat like a pig. And that's like that.
Yeah, again. And then he eats more like a pig.
And then he eats more.
You don't say, oh, I'm sorry, where are my manners?
Yes, that's the word. That's what I'm the guy who says, oh my God, I'm so sorry, where are my manners?
No, you lick her hamburger.
that's what gets you turned on by that.
I don't know why human beings, that's the course. It's so counterintuitive.
I think you know where it stems from? This idea that I think women have been told ever since they were kids. Like if a guy pushes like a little girl in primary school, she's always told, oh, he likes you, that's why he's being mean to you. I think that shit just sticks in.
Yeah, but again, that's because nobody's more honest than children, Arlie. I think that's where it comes from, is that that's the closest there is to an honest human being. That's how attraction between... That's how sexes should interact. Is mostly the chick going like, you dick, he's so mean. That's it.
Yeah. Oh my God, he's such a dick, but I like him.
Yeah. They would never say that. They'll never say that, even when you kiss them on the lips. After that, they'll say some sassy remark.
Yeah.
But that's when you know that something's happening. When they're giving you sass.
Yeah.
And you're thinking of ways to make them go, fuck off.
I know. And I don't need to be that guy. Dude, how shit is this? I'm probably exposing way too much of myself, but man.
It's what the pod's for.
It's what the pod's for. But I need to like.
The deeper the wound, the more universal it be.
Every time I've been in that situation of that first kiss, man, I've actually asked permission to get the first kiss. I know.
You did expose too much.
I did, but.
What is wrong with you?
I just feel like it's like, man, you're kissing someone for the first time and it's like it's you haven't reached that stage. I think it's appropriate to get their permission beforehand.
Yeah, it's appropriate in the most beta meal. It's just beta behavior.
I know, but man, sometimes you gotta accept that you a beta. Okay, I'm gonna work on it. I'm gonna work on it. I need suggestion, boys and girls, which will be better because at least I can get some real suggestions.
Every time you ever ask a girl, they say, it just happens. I can assure you, it doesn't happen. These are the two ways that attraction happens. There's three ways now. There's Tinder, which just gets rid of all the flirtation, which is the second least fun way. The least fun way is to be introduced between a mutual friend. That's essentially the West's arranged marriage.
Yes.
And then we've got, of course, the fun way, which is going to clubs and annoying chicks.
Or how about, like, you know, just meeting someone, becoming, like, friends and then realizing that you have a connection and then, like, you know, eventually getting into a relationship, falling in love.
Oh, speaking of the devil.
What?
Hey, sweetie.
Hey.
You're on speakerphone on the podcast too. Who is my girlfriend to the listeners? Just back us up here. All right. You know how we've been arguing about this for months?
Yeah.
Annoying women works, right?
But yes, it does work.
Yes!
Dude, she is
That's
just...
That's the first time she's openly admitted
No,
that.
But she's just saying that to shut you up.
Why are you doing that? Is there any honesty to what you just said to, or are you just saying this to get on to the... What are we doing tonight?
There we go.
Yeah, I'll call you later. But, sorry, I will in a sec. We've got 10 minutes more of the podcast. But, okay. So what was your finer point to my general point that, attraction works by annoyance?
Okay, it depends on the level of annoyance. For one, you were too annoying.
It worked.
Yeah, but I don't think that's true though, because we're still together, right? After all these years. First thing I'm going to do when I see you is lick your armpit.
What?
That's the response you want, Ali.
I know.
That is
yeah.
what you want.
I know, I need to do that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, because we had the lame version of just that arranged marriage of the West, of a friend going, how about you go, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's why. But if you're going to go out and kill your own, right, you need to have that feeling. And I don't think that the relationship would last that long without it. There comes a point where a boyfriend needs to be sort of like that older brother, younger sister relationship, where they just... Just because they're bored, they take the remote off the little sister and turn the TV off and then sit on the remote while they're going, don't give it back. You need a bit of that.
Yeah, I agree with that. What do you think about
okay,
that too?
I mean, I guess it does make things more exciting.
Yes!
There we go.
Well, okay. Then, yeah, all right. All the girls that listen to this podcast, you're relieved of your duty. You don't have to do anything this week. We're going to get other people to do that, but thanks. Anyway, I'll call you back, but yeah, we'll get dinner soon.
Okay, just one last thing. Ali, don't be too annoying. It's just like gently prodding.
Dude, my problem is that I am not annoying at all. I think I need to be a little annoying.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more, then that would be perfect. But don't get it at the level of Jordan.
Good tip. All right. Hey, at least I can, like, depend on this tip, unlike you, Jordan.
Don't listen to her. Yeah. All right. Thanks, babe. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Mm. All right, see you. Bye. Well, that was untimely and spooky.
Yeah.
Ouija board.
Is this
spooky.
The first time you've introduced your girlfriend to your audience?
No, she was on one other podcast ages ago, and she said two words, and then we laughed at her heaps, so then we said, get out.
Yeah, well, that...
So, yeah, it was a formal introduction.
Okay, cool.
All right, so I guess with the last 9 minutes that we have left on this podcast, let's just quickly talk about Israel-Palestine. Ali, what's going on?
Damn. I don't know. If you guys have been following the news, there's like a big story of Israel being pissed off at America. The reason for that is that... shit, what are... Like, you depressed me and then you, like, thrown me into the deep end discussing Israel-Palestine. I'm still thinking of, like, man, what personality changes do I need to bring? Anyways, so, okay, Israel-Palestine. The problem that Israel and Palestine is facing is that most of the world recognizes that there needs to be a two-state solution, where there needs to be a state of Israel and a state of Palestine side by side. At the moment, the Palestinian territories, which will be the future Palestine, are sort of divided. There's the Gaza Strip, which is isolated from the West Bank, and both of these areas are supposed to be the future Palestine. What Israel is now trying to do under its right-wing government is they're trying to get rid of this two-state. They just want the whole place. They're like, screw this. So they're moving Jewish settlers into these disputed territories, which will...
Gaza Strip.
No, not the Gaza Strip. They're just too shit scared to go there. But the West Bank. Okay. The West Bank, they're trying to get their settlers, to Jewish people, to settle there. So eventually, when there is a point where they would have to discuss two-state solution, it will just be unfeasible because there'll be so many Jewish people living there. So, and that's something that they've been gradually trying to do. This is what the Israeli settlements are all about. The whole world has been telling them, stop doing this. It's illegal to do it. It's against international law because this is a disputed territory.
As a quick side note on this, I've seen documentaries about this as well as talked to a few Jews that have gone to Israel. Mm-hmm. And they say that the vast majority of Jews that live there are such dumbasses. And it's because it's they've got like a really smart government, but they give them so much welfare that you kind of just become this perpetual baby your entire life.
Yeah,
it's and so there's like... these 50-year-old morons milling around because they get so many perks. Obviously, if they're going to put you in a war zone in this fortified town.
Yeah, and they want to do it themselves because for religious reason they feel that the whole of Israel belongs to them. So, like, religiously, they feel that they should move to these areas in order to avoid the Palestinians taking over.
Wow, so they're not like the Tea Party. Their country, they're serving God.
Yeah, yeah, they're literally like the Tea Party, just moving houses because they don't want their land to be taken away.
Wow.
Yeah, except for the fact that the Palestinians say the same thing, but their land has already been taken away. Anyways, so what happened recently was that there was a resolution that was passed saying that whatever Israel is doing to populate these settlements is illegal and they need to stop it. Usually in these cases, what America has been doing historically is just veto it, whatever it is. This time, for the first time in history, I feel, America has said, we're not going to veto it. We're going to let it through. And the reason is, we agree with it. We agree that you are ruining any prospect of actually reaching a solution. And this is what like Obama and Kerry have been saying for ages. Like, if you want a Jewish and democratic state, then you cannot have a one state because it can either be Jewish or it can be democratic. If it's democratic, you'll have a lot of Palestinians in there that will not want it to be Jewish. If you want it to be Jewish, then it cannot be democratic, which means that you're just planning on keeping all of the Palestinians in your country as second-grade citizens. Otherwise, it makes no sense. So, yeah, we don't agree with this, and we're going to let this resolution pass. And Israel's just like... Benjamin Netanyahu just flipped out. He's like, I don't even give a fuck about Obama. I'm going to talk to Trump. And Trump is just saying, yes, move your capital to Jerusalem.
Really?
Yes, that's what he said. Which is a really controversial statement. By the way, Australia has been pretty shit at this. Australia is, like, you know, they're the worst. Julie Bishop, her response to this was, we are completely against this resolution and we are for the two-state solution. Which are like two contradictory things. She's just trying to, like, she's escaping. She's finding the easy route out. If you think that the two-state solution is the thing, then you should be against settlements. Because what are those two states going to be? So Australia is just, like, trying to pander.
But doesn't Israelis. Matter. Doesn't matter what Australia's stance is on this.
Well, it does. Because, man, Israel is just... Because Israel is really strong compared to the Palestinians. So the only thing that they can pressure them is the pressure by international community. So... If Australia just, like, cops one out... Dude, Obama and the American establishment, they took a bold move to not veto this. Like, come on, back them up, man. And it's for the right cause. You just said that you want a two-state solution, right? So I am 100% sure that you recognize this is for the right... Man, this is what, actually, I went to Bob Carr's talk
like I think about a couple of years ago, and he was saying the same thing. He was saying that how difficult it was to convince Australians to actually abstain a vote on these settlements back in the day. Everyone was just, and he managed to do it, and he was held by Julia Gillard, and he was saying that we managed to abstain, which was a huge step. Most people that, like, man, it's really difficult to say anything to Benjamin Netanyahu or the Israeli government. And the thing is, man, this Israeli government is way more extreme than any other. I'm not even just saying that Israel government is horrible. This particular one is just, it's like Trump being in power. So it's like a really right-wing government.
How long has Netanyahu been in?
Oh, fucking ages. He was there and then he got out and then he came back in. So it's his second time, but like with a break in between.
But would you admit that he's a really likable guy?
Man, I know you're only saying that because Bill Maher likes him, but I think he's a real asshole. And just like, dude, he's like, he's reducing. Okay, so this is the other thing. If Israel keeps doing this, dude, fucking Palestine is going to go up in flames. Because at this point, there's a lot of, thanks to actually the Americans, a lot of these, besides Hamas, a lot of these organizations that are violent have now stopped violence because they're hoping that there will be some sort of a solution to this. If Israel keeps pursuing the same policies, eventually they'll reach a point where they'll go back to violence. And, man, that place is going to go up in flames again. We're looking at another intifada, which is not in anyone's benefit. So no matter how likable Netanyahu is, he's a bit of a cunt.
What do you think about him? No, but he's going to be in power for years now, right? Because the election was only in 2015, yeah?
Yes, and he do you know what he fought his elections on? He just scared Israelis. Because there's a lot of Israelis that are against this as well. It's not just like every Israeli is for this. There's, you know, their leftists are saying that this is crazy. They go for, they want a two-state solution because they want a sustainable. Because, dude, if there's one state, you'll always have a hostile population living in your state. You don't want that stuff to happen.
Mm.
So there's a lot of, within Israel, there's a lot of people that are against this as well. But Benjamin Netanyahu just basically fought his elections on saying, if you vote me out, then ISIS is going to take over Israel. That was his thing. And that's what got him elected, because it just scared the shit out of Jewish people.
That sounds so dumb. But it's like how South Korea, every single, their right-wing government is always saying, if the left gets in, North Koreans will invade South Korea.
Yeah.
Fact.
That was it, man. They even had these propaganda videos out, which I saw, which were just insane, which was just like ISIS members coming to Israel. And yeah, the whole thing was, if you vote us out, ISIS will take over. And that will scare anyone, let alone like a small community of Jewish people living in an extremely hostile environment.
Can the Liberal Party shut the fuck up about the Medi scare campaign?
That's a fucking scare campaign.
Shut up. Anyway, I guess that's the end of the Fredly Geordies podcast, because we got to get out of here. But thank you so much for listening. And remember all the stuff that we told you to write in the comment section, because we don't do that. See you next week.
Bye.